Good morning, church.
Buenos días, iglesia. The Jesus seal of authenticity. Perhaps some of you grew up like I did, and you had knockoff versions of the real thing. Okay. For example, I used to love the cereal called Fruit Loops. Okay, I loved Fruit Loops; thought it was great. But every now and then, I came home with something called Fruity Rings. Okay. Not the same thing, not as good, but they were Fruity Rings. Some of y'all might know about Transformers. In the 1980s, every child was into Transformers in the 80s. You knew about them, and you wanted Transformers toys. But every now and then, I came home with something called GoBots, okay? Not quite Transformers, but almost there. Every child probably loves McDonald's. And I was no exception. You can't beat those McDonald's fries. You can't beat the Happy Meals. But I remember one time we attempted to have McDonald's at home, okay? We could do our own McDonald's. We don't have to go out. So, it was a good idea initially. But as you know, sorry. You can't repeat it. And we tried, and we failed. Wow, why is that so funny to me right now? Anyways, you can't repeat McDonald's at home. Also, Nintendo was very popular growing up, and because there were so many knockoffs of Nintendo products, they began to have something called the Nintendo Seal of Authenticity. Okay, when you bought a game and you saw this golden sticker on it, you knew this came from Nintendo, And there are so many attempts to knock things off in our society growing up, fake versions that are not as good or not good at all that we deal with. It turns out the Bible has the same issue. It turns out that in Christianity, there are also people and forces attempting to copy the real deal. Except when you make a knockoff of Christianity, a fake version of God, it isn't just a bad taste in your mouth. It isn't just a poor quality item. Unfortunately, there's only one Christianity. And if you don't do that right, there's no salvation. So we have to be very careful about that. For example, we had the 12 apostles. There are even, in the first century church, fake apostles. Apparently, there are people who are competing with Peter and Paul. And they were Paul calls them in some versions the super apostles. There are people who came along and said, we are just as good as these guys are. Listen to us. And Paul describes these people in 2 Corinthians 11, 12 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 through 15. He describes these people who are trying to come along and provide fake versions of the apostles. He says in verse 12, but what I am doing, I will continue to do so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. And Satan himself is the great deceiver. He's the master. He's so good at being tricky, he can even appear like an angel of light, like the real thing. Satan is always trying to make fake versions of the things that we have in the kingdom of God. But fake versions of godly things, again, will prevent us from going to heaven. In the Lord, however, we have, if you will, a seal of authenticity, okay? It's called the seal of the Spirit. The Bible literally calls it the seal of the Holy Spirit. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And he's talking about all Christians. If you are Christians, you have, in some senses, a seal of Christ's authenticity. And this is the Holy Spirit. In verse 13, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. If you've been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, having believed in Christ, he gives you the gift of the Spirit, an indwelling, a seal. It proves you're the real deal. You're a real Christian. God is truly living inside of you. And if you have this seal inside of you, look forward to going to heaven. This is real. Acts 2:38 is that basic message that I want to make sure we all understand this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And it says, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will, if you do this, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I pray all of us have that today. And if not, let's make sure we have taken care of that this very day. But the devil has successfully, however, made fake versions of all of these things. He's made a fake version of God, a fake version of Jesus, a fake version of apostles, and even a fake version of the seal of the Holy Spirit. These things can be found in the book of Revelation. So be aware of these fake ideas. In the book of Revelation, chapter 13, I want to read through these fake versions of what he tries to do. Chapter 13 in Revelation, he says, first and foremost, and the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. This dragon is representative of Satan, who's attempting to create a fake version of God. So the very first fake is this fake God, this beast coming out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horn were 10 diadems, and on his head were blasphemous names. Okay, they made fun of God. They had fake crowns. Okay, this is a fake version of God. And then in the next verse, we have a fake version, if you will, of Jesus. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, just like God gave Christ power on earth in some senses. The dragon gives him the power and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as if it had been slain. This beast had a head as if it was slain. Jesus Christ actually died on the cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again by his own power. Nobody else ever did that. Even Satan can't do that. So what he did to trick people is create a beast which looked like it died. Okay? It was a copy, a counterfeit, a not-so-good version. And his fatal wound was healed. See? The world saw it was healed. Wow, you died and were healed just like Jesus. A fake version. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. Okay? Then we have a fake version of the apostles. Skip to verse 12, if you will, in the same chapter. He says, verse 11, another beast came out, and he had 2 horns and like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. So that as the apostles point people to Christ, this fake evil version points people to the fake Jesus. Okay, these are all symbols of something he's talking about here. And finally, we have the fake seal of the Holy Spirit. In verse, you may have heard the expression 666. 666 is the bad number. Well, here's where it comes from. In context, it's the fake, if you will, seal of the Spirit. Chapter 13, beginning in verse 16. And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the freemen and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand, around their forehead. Just as the gospel is for everybody, please understand the devil's also trying to get everybody. And he says they have a seal on their forehead or their right hand, and he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, John says. All right, this is symbolism. This is all caricatures and pictures to describe evil. Here is wisdom, he says. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Okay? And it's simply, all these things are, is a copy, in an attempt to deal with what we have in Christianity. Now, eventually, all these fake versions, if you keep reading, they all die. They're all destroyed. They all are revealed to be fake. And again, Revelation has specific lessons that make sense in history. I think a lot of it is talking about symbolically what happened in Rome. But it's also describing evil, this book. And evil never changes. Today, the devil is still busy making fake versions of godly things. The world is still completely falling for these things. But we as Christians should be able to see right through them. I pray we can. And also that we are also guiding other people to see through the fake versions that compete with the church, the Holy Spirit, Christianity. But how do we see through the counterfeits? How do we see through the counterfeits? Well, the Bible describes the counterfeits clearly for us over and over again. So one way to see through counterfeits is to read the Bible. Okay? Read the Bible, and the Bible will describe what counterfeits look like. But also, understand, Matthew 7:20 says this, you will know them by their fruits. Matthew 7:20, you will know them by their fruits. If you're wondering if something is right, if you're wondering if it's okay, if something looks really good, but you're not sure, well, just wait a while. Wait a while. And what they do reveal who they really are. You will know them by their fruits. But let's give a few examples of the devil making fake versions of what we know to be real in God. I find that the devil is making a fake version of the word love. He has made fake versions of the concept of what love is. The devil says, and the world is saying, that love is about pleasure. Love is linked to, associated with, me feeling good. As related to that, they say that love has to involve some kind of gain. If I'm not getting something out of this relationship, it can't be love. Therefore, I must exit, you see. Love has changed from something that we give to people to something that we receive from people. I will only stay in the situation if I feel loved, many might claim. And so therefore, the idea of love has been hijacked from its original form. But we should know what love truly means. You might have heard of the expression that love wins. Once again, the idea of love was used as an excuse. If people feel love about something, whatever they do is okay, therefore. Love being used to justify all kinds of immoral lifestyles. So no matter what, if love's involved, the world says, it's good. I hope we see through these lies as Christians. I hope we do. And I hope we are showing what true love means from the Bible. Notice, I'm going to read some verses about love in the Bible, and notice how it will go against what the world says that love is, what Satan says love is. John 15, verse 13. John chapter 15, verse 13. Here's the greatest love of all, as a certain songs go. I was teased for referencing old songs in a few sermons ago, okay? I use old songs because new songs you can't reference anymore, okay? They're so nasty. That's why I use the older songs. I know the new songs too, just to be clear, but unfortunately I can't reference them in church. That's why. But anyway, John 15, 13, greater love hath no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. There's no better love, the world says, that the Bible says, that when you say, I will give my life for you. Life or death, I will give my life for you. That's certainly not what the world says about love. Our 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. I ask you, if you are involved with any situation where they say love is involved, whether it be a relationship, a group, or you say, I love something. If you say, I love something, and that something loves me back, I pray that this is found in that situation. If that is not found in it, please question whether love is truly there. Please see through these fake claims of love if we don't see 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, if you think something is loving and doesn't involve this, I tell you, it is counterfeit love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, it says, love is patient. Love is kind. And it's not jealous. Love does not brag. And it's not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth. And it bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. So again, look at our lives. And if love is supposedly somewhere, but we don't see patience, if we see anger, if we see aggression, if we see fault finding, that's not love. Just be clear. It's a fake version. It's not the real thing. 1 John 4, verse 8. 1 John 4, verse 8. This is ultimately what love is. The Bible says that God is love. 1 John 4, verse 8. The Bible will say the very definition, the energy, the identity, the meaning of love is God. So to truly understand what love is, as the Bible says, we must understand who God is. 1 John 4, verse 8, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Essentially, godless love is not love. It's something else. It's not love. So to understand what love is, we have to read the Bible and see what God, who God is. Okay, and sometimes, however, but our society will say, our society worships the idea of love that they create. Essentially, what happens in our society is that we create what love is, and we make our love God, okay? So we say our love is God. I would define love based upon what I think it is, and I'll worship that idea. But the Bible says that God is love. We look at love based upon who God is. We don't decide who God is based upon our love, our loving desires. You see, God is love. Love is not God. God is love. Please don't fall for a fake version of happiness. Happiness. That's a big one today, isn't it? All I want is to be happy. So the world says, well, here's how to be happy. You have to find yourself, says the world. You must discover who you truly are. And Satan would certainly agree with that, that if you could spend your entire life discovering yourself, and then you discover yourself, well, that might be, and if you express who you are, then the world says you will truly be happy. Or the world says, follow your heart. Follow your heart. What do you want to do in your life? Just do whatever your heart says. That, the world says, will make you happy. The world also presents to us the opportunities of material things to be happy. So many, there's all kinds of designer and not designer drugs out there to be happy, it says. If you can partake of this drug, if you can overdose and overdo this alcohol, then the result will be happiness. But oh, we know people who have decided to think that way, right? It's interesting how these things that create happiness and give us freedom eventually are the very same things that hold us down in chains of addiction, resulting in, no, not happy at all. Not happy at all. But the world says on our billboards, you can be happy with this. The world also says, and Satan would agree, do whatever makes you happy as long as nobody gets hurt, they say. The as long as nobody gets hurt clause. If you could be happy and no one gets hurt, you're truly happy. Well, I dare say that these are all ideas of fake happiness. These are ideas that don't make you happy at all eventually. The Bible will say real happiness has to come through Jesus Christ. These items don't have the Jesus seal of authenticity. John 14, 6 is the very famous verse where it says, Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. The way to what? the way to happiness, the way to joy, the way to peace, the way to anything that we truly want. We all want the same exact thing. We don't quite know how to get there. But we all want the same exact thing. Jesus Christ says, I am that way. We don't know it yet, perhaps. Perhaps we don't know it quite yet, but we all want to be with God. He is our true happiness. He is our true home. Heaven, for us, is where God's going to be. So whether we know it or not, we all desire to have and to be with God. Christ says he's the way, the truth, and the life in that direction. Nothing else will do. Matthew 16 seems to go against completely what the world says about finding yourself and finding your heart and discovering yourself. Jesus Christ has the exact opposite advice. It's so opposite, it almost sounds, that can't be true, Jesus. Somehow, some way, this has got to be an analogy, but Christ is very direct about this. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 24, says the complete opposite about being happy. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me being the way, truth, life, he must deny himself. He must deny himself, take up a cross, and follow me. So you have to say no to what you want to do. Being a Christian will mean saying no to what you want to do, no matter who you are. Okay, I promise you, some people agree with Christ, but even so, they got to say no to something. You say no to yourself and take up a cross. We think sometimes that happiness equals freedom. He's saying, no, you got to bear a cross, a burden, something that's not quite pleasant, that does not feel good indeed. If you do that and follow me. Verse 25, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Do you want to find out who you really are? Do you want to see what's in your heart? Do you want to see what God has meant for you to do? Then get rid of what you want to do and follow Christ. Verse 26, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Satan says, if it hurts, it's bad. If it feels good, it's good. That's what Satan says, that fake happiness. Well, I'll give you an example of this. Look at Hebrews 11, 24 to 26. Hebrews 11, 24 to 26. Talk about a man named Moses who could have been royalty in Egypt, the most powerful country in the world at that time period. But he chose to suffer and to put upon himself pain of righteousness rather than fleeting evil happiness. Hebrews 11, 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Righteousness will require a little bit of difficulty, a little bit of pain, okay? But your reward lasts forever. The world gives you fleeting happiness and fleeting stuff, but it gives you a lot more pain. And pain that goes on forever. I can go on and on. I don't have time to do everything that was in my mind when I first wrote this sermon. There are fake versions of gender today. God says, I made them male and female, but today it's whatever you want to do, whatever you feel like, on any given day, a whole variety of things. My home state, New York, where I'm from, recognizes over 40 different genders now, okay, of what you want to be. But the Bible says there's only two, and God made them male or female. Which one do we find? The authentic version or the fake versions? Genesis 5:2. There are also fake versions of citizenship. Some people are more American than anything else. But I pray that we are Christians, are Christian first, then American. I tell you right now, if you are a Christian first, then American, our whole worldview changes. Some people have fake versions of race. We elevate our racial and skin color above anything else. We say, I am this color and I am this race, number one. But forgetting that in Christ we are united through him. Then we are skin color. And I tell you right now, if we view and elevate Christ above our skin color, above our ethnicity, above where we come from, I promise you, you see unity like never before that the world cannot compete with. Right now, you know, there are people who are called race baiters who love racism, who create racism, and profit from division. But we as people of God should not be this way. Our race, our number one race, is called the holy race. That's what we are, of God. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10. This is who you are above anything else. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and we are a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are a people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Let's not fall for counterfeit versions of these things. The devil has so many lies and counterfeits. Let's see through them, saints. But I want to conclude with making sure that we don't fall for a fake version of the gospel. Please don't fall for a fake version of the gospel. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 9. Paul's dealing with people who were falling for fake gospels way back when Christianity first started. He says, I am amazed, Paul says, that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But Paul says, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As I have said before, so I say again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. If you get fake McDonald's or fake Nintendo games or fake cereal, that's one thing. But you get a fake gospel, there's some serious consequences here. Find the real gospel. Do what is proper and correct in the Word of God. In Paul's case, people were saying you have to become Jewish first to become a Christian. That was wrong, Paul said. You don't have to become Jewish first to become a Christian. Today, we have people who take away from the simple gospel. There are people who downplay repentance. Remember, to repent from our sins means you are sad for your sins. Don't ever get too mechanical about our sins. Or to take away baptism. They can say, oh, just think about God in your heart and you're saved, ignoring the Word of God. Or we have people who add to the gospel. They force people to read books on top of the Bible to be saved. Or some churches say you have to go through a course or classes to join our church, making it more difficult to be saved than it really is. No, here's the real thing. My final word today, Mark 16, 16, where he says, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. That's it. That's it. But all who disbelieved shall be condemned. That's it. I don't care where you come from. I don't care who you are. I don't care what denomination you come from. I don't care what religion you come from. If you believe and are baptized in the name of Jesus, you will be saved. That verse has the Jesus seal of authenticity. And I pray everybody here has the Holy Spirit as an indwelling in their life today. Please think of these things as we stand and sing.